Welcome
Blog
to the
Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Phoenix chapter of the International Coach Federation's Blog Talk Radio Show. I'm your host today, Catherine Halpin, and I'm very pleased to welcome our guest, Otto Siegel. Otto is one of only 621 master certified coaches certified by the International Coach Federation in the world. Otto is one of only 621 in the world, and he's a global citizen, and we'll get to learn a lot more about Otto, but I just wanted to take a moment to tell you a little bit about the International Coach Federation and our Phoenix chapter and to welcome you to our Blog Talk Radio Show. The International Coach Federation has almost 17,000 members all over the globe in something like 109 countries, and we are the premier professional association for professional coaches. And the Phoenix chapter is one of the premier chapters in the world, and we're very pleased and proud to have them as our sponsor of our Blog Talk Radio Show. This is our sixth session, and we're very pleased with our success so far. So thank you for joining us all. Let me just say a little bit more about Otto. Otto has, in addition to his Master Certified Coach designation, he also has a Master's in Education. He's best known for his passionate and precise approach to exploring and developing hidden brilliance and suppressed intelligence in children, teenagers, and adults. So he's recognized as a highly creative coach, speaker, and author to accelerate high-quality results in entrepreneurial and educational environments and corporate environments with customized solutions to unleash unique strengths in leaders and teenagers to thrive in challenging situations. I had the pleasure of first meeting Otto, I think, about 10 years ago, when I was a speaker at the Phoenix chapter of the International Association of Business Communicators, and Otto was in the audience, and we've had a number of opportunities to stay connected through the year. So I'm a big, big fan of Otto's. So welcome, Otto.
Thank you, Catherine. Thank you for this wonderful introduction. I'm happy to be your guest today.
Yes, I'm so happy to be together. The best part of being the host of our Blog Talk Radio Show is that I get to have this much time with people that I respect and value and am interested in learning more. So I always like to start at the very beginning, Otto. So tell us a little bit about where did you grow up, where were you born? I know you're a global citizen, so tell us everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I call it my first life. I was born and raised in Munich, Germany, actually in a small village near Munich. And in my first life, my first career I chose was a high school teacher for biology and chemistry. Mm. And about 3 weeks in the job, I stumbled into my real calling when I faced the phenomenon of gifted, bright students in my classrooms in chemistry. And that was my destination from then forward. So needless to say, it's my own story. I admit it right up front.
I love it. I love it. So how long did you end up being a high school science teacher?
17 years total, 10 years in Germany, and then 7 years in Brazil, in Sao Paulo. I got an assignment as a teacher and educational consultant for the German government, because they maintain schools all over the world in major capitals to allow engineers and their families to come on assignments and bring their kids, and they have schooling.
Wow.
So I signed up for one of those jobs in Sao Paulo, and I had a blast. It was actually also a culture shock for 18 months straight, because coming from rigid, controlled Germany into totally alive and out of control Brazil, that was a big shift.
I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Well, and then what brought you to Phoenix?
Phoenix actually is home of People Unlimited, the only society or association in the world that promotes physical immortality, to live in the physical body without end. Mm-hmm. And I met these founders and speakers in Germany, in Munich. They came for a seminar. And what they told me just made so much common sense, that the human body has the ability to constantly rejuvenate itself on a cellular level, given the right environment.
Yes,
the only thing, the environment doesn't exist yet, so we need to create it first.
Yes.
So
because of hearing those speakers in Munich, you eventually relocated to Phoenix?
That's right. I came here several times. I came here several times during the annual conventions in summer in July, And then they had their Christmas event. That's the first time I came to America. I traveled 38 countries before that, but never touched America.
Interesting
enough.
38
yeah.
countries. You certainly are a global citizen.
Yeah.
Well, that's fascinating. I'd love to hear more about that. I remember the name of that entity from when I've mm-hmm. Just had a chance to connect with you in prior years, but I didn't know that that was actually what brought you here. I'd love to hear more about that, and maybe we can intersperse some of that into our mm-hmm. interview today, because it's all related, living mm-hmm. life to the fullest.
Yes.
That's what you're about. Your genius coaching is about, I believe. Mm-hmm. Well, tell me a little bit about what were those pivotal experiences that led you to coaching?
First, teaching was the first, let's say, the outer circle. I did not even touch bullseye yet. I was always interested to see behavior change, not just imparting knowledge in my students and then they do whatever they do with it. No, I want to see how they mature through the knowledge, how they become more adults. They grow through puberty and then take on a whole new personality and responsibility. This part of development always fascinated me because sometimes it's so unpredictable. Sometimes you are very patient and all of a sudden you notice a quantum leap. I just love success stories. I cry when I hear real success stories.
yes.
And I just want people to succeed. And then in teaching with the gifted, I found out they are highly underserviced because they get everything in 5 minutes. So why should they sit in classroom and then do homework about things they already know?
Right.
So that's why I got in touch with the pain of gifted and bright students first and then people. Because after we were done to develop programs for these teenagers and children, the parents came around and said, well, I have to be honest with you. I face the same situation in my job. Yes, it pays my bills, but am I happy? No way. That's way too small for me. Can you help me as well? Next thing you know, we work with business owners. And next thing you know, we've worked with corporations because they have the same situation in their team. It's just an extension of their school career.
That's right.
And that's why we still have this focus in genius coaching. It seems to be all over the place, but in reality, yes, we focus on families, on entrepreneurs who are in the wrong business or work too hard in their businesses, way too many hours. They try to make it work for them instead of adjusting the business to their own talents, needs, and strengths and exceptional gifts. And then the customized business works like a charm, of course.
So give
and the
us
same thing.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead. This is so important.
Yeah, the last piece I was going to say is in corporations, the same thing. They struggle so hard to fit in until they realize, wait a minute, there's always a leadership opportunity in whatever level I work on in my company. And I can actually have an impact on that to create a more positive human environment in my corporation. And that, of course, drives revenue and employee retention. And especially high potential retention.
Wow. So give us an example of an entrepreneur that you've worked with. I know one of our core competencies in the International Coach Federation for Coaches is confidentiality or, mm-hmm. maintain that respect. So I don't want you to divulge too many secrets, but could you give us a general example of an entrepreneur? Because I come from a family of entrepreneurs, and so this really resonates, what you're sharing.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's call him John for confidentiality reasons. And when I met him in 2005, he had a vending machine company, and he recovered from a major business disaster he went through before that. So he started from scratch, basically, went through bankruptcy before, and started from scratch with vending machines. So when we met, he complained, well, all these employees are not reliable, and complain. The story behind the story was the game was too small for him.
Yeah.
So I told him, John, what is your heart's desire? And then it turns out his real genius, after long hours of coaching, many, many weeks, he revealed the real secret. His real exceptional talent, I call it personal genius, was to put deals together.
Mm.
I said, John, why don't you just start and buy and sell businesses? I cannot do that. Well, anyway, he started with about a laundromat business, placed his vending machines in the laundromat business, was also a coin business, interesting enough.
Yeah.
And then he brought it up in 18 months. He sold it with 300% profit.
Wow.
I said, John, do you notice something?
Yeah. We went from bankruptcy to 300% profit in 18 months.
Exactly.
Yes.
And I said, you see, now you're talking. Mm-hmm. Now you get the right size of the business. You played in too small of a league. You cannot succeed in a lower league. Yours is not to collect coins from machines. Yours is to sell the whole deal.
Right.
And sure enough, he became a business broker. Very, very successful.
I love that story. Thank you so much, Otto, for sharing that.
You're welcome.
Well, oh my gosh, gives me goosebumps because so many people live their lives, you know, in that quiet desperation mode where they're not happy. I think you know about me. I spent 25 years in the field of accounting. I should never have been an accountant.
Wow.
Yes.
But you turned it around successfully for your current passion as a coach.
Yes, 16 years ago I was fortunate enough to find coaching. I'd say I'm blessed. That's the only way to describe it.
Yes.
But if I had met you in my career, you could have gotten me out of that bad situation much sooner. Accounting is a wonderful profession. I have the utmost respect for accountants and CPAs, but it just wasn't a good fit for me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, go ahead.
And then you became one of the pioneers of professional coaching.
Yes, I got into it so quickly. In 1995, no one had heard of coaching.
That's amazing, yeah.
An accidental pioneer.
Great way to describe your genius.
Yeah, thank you. And I just love people, and I love hearing their stories, and I believe with every cell and fiber of my being, I believe that everything evolves as it should. So they can tell me the most goofy thing, and I'll say, well, you know, that was one approach. Let's put our heads together and think of other approaches you can use next time. So I never, I really am very well suited, I think, for this coaching profession.
Yes, you are.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Speaking of the profession, Otto, tell us a little bit about where you got your coach training. Because I know to get that Master Certified Coach designation, you have quite a bit of training and quite a bit of experience.
Yeah.
So tell us about your training.
It started out through my short corporate career. When I came here to Phoenix, we brought this business, my partner Susanna Lang and myself, we brought this business here called Fit for Learning, and we thought, wow, all these ADD children, what a great market for our product. Boy, we were in for a surprise because marketing and sales are totally different in the United States compared to Europe.
Yeah.
So after a year, we had to fold. We spent all the money we made in Germany and had to start from scratch. So I started to sell glass, window replacement, to learn how to sell.
Yes,
and,
of course.
And the owner of the company was a genius in sales. He really taught me the ropes, hands-on, practical. And out of this, I got a corporate job as a training manager. And that was already closer to reality because I was in task to design or develop a customized leadership training for this entire organization with 9 locations, and 3 of them in Europe, which was very nice, gave me nice trips to Europe.
Yes.
And then it was a great introduction, wonderful launch, but half a year later, the service just came in, well, nothing really changed. And then one day I got this flyer on my desk from Corporate Coach U, Colorado, Steamboat Springs. I read this flyer, I read it again, I sat down and read it again, and I said, that's me. Where can
right.
I sign up?
Right. Wow.
And that's how it started. The company sponsored me. I got tuition reimbursement for the whole thing, and that's how I started my whole career as a coach.
Wow. And what year was that?
That was in 1999.
Right, a long time ago. When did you go full-time as a coach?
In 2002, I was laid off finally because the company was sold, and the first time they cut is, of course, the HR department.
Right.
To look good on the books when you sell a company.
Right.
And that was the perfect moment for me. I was certified, had enough experience internally with leadership coaching, and I never looked back. It was a perfect moment.
Yes. And then what year did you get your Master Certified Coach designation?
Yeah, I got that in 2007.
Wow. Finally. I didn't realize it had been that. I thought it had been even earlier than that.
Mm-hmm. No.
Wow, how great. What I love that story, and it's a story of so many coaches. You know, when I started in 1995, there were only 2 coach training schools, Coach U, and they did not have their corporate Coach U yet. and the Coaches Training Institute. And I found Coach Yu and actually met Thomas Leonard by telephone, and he enrolled me in Coach Yu, and he didn't bother to tell me about the Coaches Training Institute. But now there's hundreds of coach training schools around the world, and so many people have your story. They've benefited from being in a career position where they got to be trained as a coach, and then when the time was right, they could make their transition to being a full-time coach.
Yeah. Yeah, and I just want to encourage all the coaches that listen in today online, whatever you are in your career choice, just don't give up, okay? Even if the money flow is not right away from the get-go the way you would like to, but there's always a way to substitute the financial part. But your passion, if it is your passion, is to coach and to affect people's life and to be there with them, hold their hands through the transitions, it's so much needed. I mean, it's so much needed.
Oh, my gosh, everywhere you look. I said to a client yesterday, no one needs a coach, but everybody can benefit from a coach.
That's so true, yeah. Well put.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I know your philosophy of finding the genius in everyone. Tell us more about your philosophy of coaching and how you coach people to find that genius and how that all plays out.
Interesting enough, the name Genius Coach is a coaching. I got some Thomas Leonard.
Oh, say more about that.
Because you might remember he had Coachville for a while when he started, and he sent out these amazing Monday morning newsletters each single week, and they were so full of inspiration and really practical knowledge and experience. And so I read every single one of them, and one weekend he sent one. Well, over the weekend I went to a marketing seminar, and the guy was promoting his website. It was a black and white website. He was a therapist and just had this big headline, Stop Your Divorce Now. And this guy makes $70,000 a year with the website. He's a therapist. And then he said, if I would start coaching all over again, that's what I would do. And here it was, Genius Coaching. He always bought the domain name, geniuscoaching.com. I sent him an email back and said, Thomas, I know you won't start from scratch. Do you mind if I take it and run with it? And Jesus emailed me back, go ahead. That was the beginning of my coaching session.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I love that.
Yeah.
Now, so what a great story. Now, what about in your one-on-one coaching? Share with us a little bit about your approach.
Yeah, once I got the coaching down to Genius Coaching, first I was scared by my own name, to be honest with you.
Fine.
Because genius seems to be so untouchable and intangible. We dismiss it to the stars and the celebrities, we never claim it on our own. And then I thought again, this is exactly the point. I came across Einstein, his famous quote is, there is a true genius in everyone. And this quote was my guiding star. If it's everyone, then it's innate, it's biological. It's not a mental assumption, it's not a make-believe, it's not something we wish we would be, it's written in our DNA. And that hit home with me, being a former biology teacher. I love science, I love evidence, I like reality.
See?
So it took me right beyond the spirit to believe about genius and everything projection you might experience, it went right to the core.
Yeah.
And sure enough, I found out about the flip side of genius as well, of course. It can be totally self-destructive if you let it happen. Your brain or your intelligence can actually work against you if you don't watch it. So developing high potential or highly intelligent people comes with a lot of responsibility.
Yeah.
And I totally, totally, totally embrace that. So if I coach a three-year-old with his family or an executive at Oracle, that is also one of my clients, it doesn't matter. The responsibility is almost the same.
It's such an
And I like that because you cannot go wrong. There's something innate. I frequently compare it with digging up a gold mine, okay? Yes, there's a lot of gravel, but I don't spend time to analyze the gravel. I go for the gold.
Yes, I love that analogy. That's so rich, and that's so, that's really the philosophy of coaching. I tell people we're not, the distinction between counseling or therapy and coaching is the therapist is, looking backwards to see why you do what you do. And we as coaches only want to look forward and say, what's it going to take for you to do something different tomorrow?
Yes.
Later today, like your client that was in the vending business, business and then became a fabulously successful business broker.
Mm-hmm.
Genius was doing the deals.
Yes.
Well, say more about your work with people that are genius but might have dyslexia or some kind of learning disabilities. I'm not...
Yeah. And all of them do. So they pick up all the labels. Because the genius package comes not only with intelligence, it also comes with sensitivity.
Yeah.
There's actually a total five hallmarks that really describe every single one of them, independent of age. Sensitivity being number two, which means they pick up all kinds of allergies. They pick up also mental junk food, I call it. Okay, mm-hmm. They get wrong information about them being small, about them being worthless. They pick up the bullying. They attract bullying during high school years.
Mm-hmm.
They pick up self-depression. They pick up abuse, child abuse, because the number three label is intensity. If they do something, they do it full speed and intense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they don't know a stop sign, okay? They dedicate themselves with a passion. And if they dedicate themselves to the wrong things for a while, they just get totally labeled, like ADD, ADHD. But in reality, I found finally a Polish psychologist explaining it to me, that he calls it hyper-excitability. Because their senses are open, they get easily excited. And they get excited sometimes about small things that may or may not be even real.
Right.
So if they develop a preference, an example, they develop a preference for video games, they become addicted quickly.
Right.
Frequently.
Right.
So
right.
The crucial thing is not only to leverage the intelligence, also to find a direction where they can lift the intensity in a beneficial way without causing harm, without harming themselves mainly.
Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
You are so smart. That is amazing. Well, I want to invite people to dial in because this is so rich, Otto, and I know lots of people have questions. So mm-hmm. If you're listening to our show today, feel free to call in so that you can ask Otto your questions. Our number is 424-243-9638. That's 424-243-9638. And we'll be happy to take your questions. Our producer, Dr. Anna Melikan, is standing by, and she'll take your call and get your name, and then she'll connect us together so that you can ask Otto specific questions about yourself or your own coaching clients or your, moving in this direction to find out what your strengths and your passions and your purposes are. So feel free to dial in. Now, Otto, I'd be interested to know if you could tell us all five. Sensitivity is second, intensity is one of them, hypersensitivity.
Mm-hmm.
What are the five?
Yeah. Number four is specialty, because every genius is a specialist. I mean, Steve Jobs, brilliant example, absolutely specialist in this area. On the human side, very self-destructive. That was very obvious. So definitely not a genius in this area when it comes to extreme self-care or in social skills or in leadership skills. Definitely not part of his spectrum. Or mm-hmm. Tiger Woods, okay? Mm-hmm. This guy grew up swinging a golf club at age three because his dad was his coach.
Mm-hmm.
And the natural unfolding of this was a genius on the golf course.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely not in human relationships, as we know in the meantime.
Right.
So that's why it's so important to find this unique fingerprint. I compare this genius frequently with a fingerprint. It's unique for everybody. Nobody has the same. And once we get this on a deeper level, competition is obsolete.
Mm.
We don't need to fight for our lives. We don't need to fight for our talents. Just bring them on and put them out there.
Mm. How beautiful. And mm-hmm. I'm sure we have listeners today that would like to have competition become obsolete in their business or their careers or their lives.
Yes.
So,
mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh, how powerful, Otto.
Yeah. Competition is wonderful to measure where you are at in your game. Okay? That's why we will. But it's in a healthy way not to fight each other, not to fight the opponent or the other person. There's so much war going on, even in the verbiage around competition.
Right.
You defeat your competitors. No, you just share your market share a little bit different. That's all there is.
Right.
But that's not a war. It's just happening on the marketplace.
Right.
So there's a lot of confusion on a small scale and on a big scale, and it begins with one person at a time. So that's number four. And number five is charisma. These people are passionate. Okay? They are on a mission. They live their true calling.
Yeah.
They don't mess around. They talk about it at length, and they are excited about it from a deep physical place.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. And the combination of those five, a handful is easy to memorize, that's a full, rich, fulfilled, and significant life.
Mm. Now, what was number one? I didn't get that.
Intelligence.
Oh, intelligence, of course.
Uh-huh.
Of course you mentioned that. Yes.
Yeah.
I have a niece I have several nieces, I think, that could benefit from your work. So before the top of the hour, I want to talk about your work with the families. But I love the way that you've outlined this. It's so simple and easy to understand and so easy to recognize those people in our lives who possess these five characteristics.
Yeah, my favorite definition of genius, by the way, I coined in the meantime, is genius is simplicity beyond complexity.
Now, say more about that, because that'll take a minute to comprehend.
Yeah, the Einstein formula, E equals H times C squared, H by C squared, is so simple. The math behind it, immensely complex.
Yeah.
But the genius for all of us users is the formula.
Yeah.
That opened a whole new era in physics.
Mm-hmm.
Or another example, the iPad. Mm-hmm. Simple to use. Extremely simple, simpler than all the competitors. The logistics behind it, the technology, immensely complex.
Right.
But the genius is the user surface, okay? And that's what I'm after.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes down to our own bodies, okay? Our body is immensely complex, 260 billion biochemical reactions per minute sitting on our chairs right now.
Mm-hmm.
But the food we eat, very simple to
right.
keep this whole thing going.
Right.
So that's why I like the genius level of that, because the simplicity is what we are starving for so much.
Yes. I totally agree about that. We all, and everybody I know, we always make things more complicated than they need to be.
Totally true.
Totally. Well, let's stay on that concept and talk a little bit more about self-care. And I imagine, given your background, nutrition is part of your view of self-care. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but...
Yeah, totally.
So tell us about your perspective on that concept of extreme self-care.
Yeah. I actually back it up, the extreme self-care, and I call it physical intelligence. And by the way, the intelligence is a big part, of course, of my work, because intelligence is also one of the most frequently misunderstood concepts. Mm-hmm. It's, for most people, it's IQ. And IQ was defined in 1932. And it still measures only two qualities, which is mathematical, logical, and linguistic.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Howard Gardner, probably you're familiar with him, Howard psychologist, he finally defined in 2006 eight intelligences. That already is much better, a broader picture. We added four to them, so we have a total of 12 to work with.
Oh. Now, how do you assess people? Do you have a test to measure?
Yes.
12? Yeah.
We have a whole genius profile, which is actually, you can see it on our website. It's a combination of assessments, customized assessments, and personal interview to evaluate human brilliance. We are the first ones to do that. We tested it now for a year. It has amazing results. And as we redo our website, as I speak, it will be a big launch end of November to make this genius profile really big. It serves as a blueprint for life.
Mm-hmm.
Once you know what you're really good at, you get it in a picture frame, in a poster frame, hang it up on the wall next to a mirror. Every day you see your qualities, and that puts you on the right path. You would never build a house without a blueprint. But sure enough, we build our lives without the blueprint.
Right. Oh.
Just hit or miss.
Yeah. So now is your current website geniuscoaching.com?
Yeah, geniuscoaching.com. And
I'm sure people are interested in this. This is fascinating that you've taken Gardner's work and taken it even further, added those four additional measures.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So, and that's because by nature I'm a scientist, so I love facts and data. I want to have my coaching as solid as possible. And then I can go really high. If you have a solid foundation, you can build a big building. And that's what my plan is.
Mm.
So back to the health question.
Yes, the physical intelligence.
Intelligence number 12 is physical, which means the very intelligence that created us from one fertilized egg cell, a zygote, into a living human being without any effect from the outside, no parental guidance, nothing. We knew exactly when it was time to build nerve tissue, muscle tissue, eyes, ears, ever. It was everything written on these 46 chromosomes.
Wow.
This is what I call physical intelligence. Okay? And this is mental intelligence is just a part of that, the bigger picture. And we developed six fundamentals for this physical intelligence. Number one is hydration. Make sure you drink enough water because the brain needs to be hydrated at all times. Otherwise, we just go either hyperactive or we fall asleep because the brain goes in panic mode.
Mm-hmm.
And number two is nutrition, because our bodies produces most chemicals right in our guts. There's a book out there very suggested reading. It's called The Second Brain. Michael Gershon wrote it in the 90s already. He found out that between the layers of the small and large intestine is a whole network of nerve cells, only visible microscopically. And he did the math and added them up. If you add them up, the total mass is more than the mass of our spinal cord.
Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm. So gut feeling is real.
Right. Wow. Wow, how fascinating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that fuels me, okay? Also, you find fascinating things when you go into that. That's why nutrition is crucial.
Mm-hmm.
If you have all these sugar highs and sugar addictions, we cannot expect our brains to function in a balanced way and for long periods of time.
That's
it's just
right.
not possible.
It's not possible, right.
It's not possible.
And the same with the caffeine? Don't you believe the caffeine?
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. And then at least they read this previews that recently I read a white paper that scientists assume sicknesses like Alzheimer's will start at age 40 with the current teenagers because of the excessive consumption of aspartame diet cokes and diet sodas.
Oh my gosh.
Then the brain damage that comes with it.
And literally the brain damage that comes with it.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I want to finish your list of the 12 intelligences, but I know we have a caller on hold. Anna, is that
okay.
correct?
Yeah,
yes, there is a caller. I'm going to unmute to Debbie for asking your question directly.
Great. Thank you, Anna.
Mm-hmm.
You are on there.
All right. Thanks.
Sounds
Hi, this
good.
Is Debbie Exner. Hi, Otto. Hi, Catherine.
Hi, Debbie. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Debbie.
Hi. Hey, Otto, I have a question for you. We had a conversation once about the power of visualization, and I was wondering if you would talk a little bit about that for the audience.
Mm-hmm. I'd be happy to. Oh, this is such a big question. Thank you, Debbie. Where do we start? Let's start with the ancient Indian belief system that we have a third eye. And I always had the idea there must be something pointed. The women in India have this dot between their nose, so you see it above their nose, you see it actually visually, until I realized this third eye looks to the inside and sees everything that's going on inside our bodies. So visualization means we connect from the inside to the outside, and it's very, very strong if we can do this in a relaxed manner. If we can really include the physical intelligence, as we can also read by meditation, with everything that's going on around us. That's why we know from recovering athletes that visualization actually stimulates the injured muscle and helps to recover faster. Those are very physiological data we have available for visualization. And as long as it is involving the body and what the body really senses and wants, visualization is very powerful. Because of that, it connects it, what I call the inner game and the outer game. And it is a physiological event. It's not just daydreaming. And we developed even further genius coaching. I call it a body meditation, which means we go through parts of the body, for example, very simple, to connect the two halves of the brain, which is a major source for stress to switch off between the left and right hemisphere automatically. And bright and intelligent people do this all the time to prevent overload with useless information. They develop this habit in early childhood already. So sure enough, when they come to see us most of the time, they already have what we call a split brain. So they can switch off in a way that they get lost in the right brain, which means daydreaming, big visions, but no ideas what to do with it. And visualization is part of our approach to help connect the brain again, to make sure they're balanced between the action and the dreaming, the vision, the visionary part. Long answer for a short question. Did that help you?
Yeah. So when they reunite that and are able to bring that into their lives, what kind of results do you see?
The first thing is they calm down. All this hyperactivity stuff goes away because the brain switches out of panic mode. The brain has two ways to signalize panic. One is super hyperactivity, running around without any sense. And the second thing is falling asleep and going into depression. Both extremes. And both extremes have a variation of labels. And once we understand the warning signals, the body just sends signals, guys. Relax. Don't medicate. Just relax. Watch the signals. In reality, there's a young life in stake that wants to unfold to 100%. Does not want to compromise at 40 or 45%. That's what's in stake. Let's find the other 50 or 60% missing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where genius coaching kicks in. Let's find out what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And
wow.
Once we find it out, sure enough, the symptoms disappear because the brain no longer needs to send warning signals.
Wow. This is fascinating.
Thank you, Otto.
Yes, you're welcome. My pleasure.
And thank you, Debbie, for calling in. Do you have any other comments or concerns or questions before you?
Oh, no, just as always, I enjoy listening to your guests, Catherine, and the great service that you're doing by bringing them to everyone.
Oh,
so
I love it. The honor and a privilege to engage with all of you in this important work. Getting people's stories out there. We all have a story. We just have to be willing to share our story.
Mm-hmm.
But let me take another moment to remind our listeners of the ability to call in and ask Otto these specific questions. If you're listening today, please join us. Dial in at 424-243-9638. And our producer, Anna Melikan, will screen you and get you hooked up with me and Otto. I'm Catherine Halpin, and I'm the host of this ICF Phoenix-sponsored blog talk radio show, Coach Conversations. So, Otto, I could listen to you all day about this. These are all things that are very, very, very important to me also, but I am not a scientist, and
mm-hmm.
So I have not done this research, and I have certainly not compiled this system that you have. So I'd be interested to know about I can get a sense in the corporate environment of the value you could bring to a
mm-hmm.
team or to an individual mm-hmm. because helping the geniuses on the team capture their purpose and getting that out on the table. And I can
mm-hmm.
certainly see in an entrepreneurial environment because I would imagine that almost every entrepreneur is a genius. But tell us more about the youth and the teenagers and the families. Tell us about how you work there.
Yeah, that is, again, a huge topic all by itself because that's how I started originally.
Mm-hmm.
And when the crisis hit, I expanded even more into that I lost some corporate accounts. So the point is, this is the teenagers or children don't have as much gravel on the gold yet. Compared to adults. And they're also normally more willing to do things and to open. We use, for example, a very playful approach. We use Lego models to build emotions. So build what you want to do when you grow up. Build it in Lego for me in 5 minutes. And these things, just a playfulness, relaxes the mind immediately, relaxes the brain immediately. And in playing with Legos, we have a whole system behind it, of course, then you learn about children and adults and teenagers things you would not believe that they did not know they knew and would be willing to share. So that's a powerful thing, to get into playful mode, not into interrogation mode or seeing a therapist or seeing a counselor, because a lot of these gifted children and bright children have this experience. Giftedness was treated as if it would be a sickness. Even in funding and budgeting, it's the special needs fund, okay, for learning disabilities, which is the opposite.
Right.
So there's so much confusion going on, misdiagnosis, dual diagnosis. I work closely with a few leading psychologists here in the Valley, and we understand each other's work really well, because when they are done with their work, the coaching begins.
Mm-hmm.
Now the confusion is over. Now we need to make a plan what to do with the real deal.
Yes.
So that's why we work hand in hand. I refer people who are not ready for coaching yet to evaluation first, or to psychologists or counselors, to get to talk about this childhood trauma, to talk about these things I'm not even qualified for. But then when this is done, sure enough, they come back, and now I'm ready for coaching.
Hmm.
And then we can draft this blueprint for their lives. And once they have this in place, they just make decisions. Each time they walk up to their picture on the wall and say, okay, if I want to pick this career, how would that satisfy my needs?
Yeah.
How would I honor my values?
Yeah.
And then we have a solid decision, what do I need to attend in my college years?
Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
How great. So you can help them really align their education experience.
Totally. Totally.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm working in the teenage suicide prevention business.
Oh, Otto.
Yeah.
How wonderful.
I hear case studies and I hear examples. You would not believe it. Especially bright people. They're desperate. Because they do not fit. They do not fit in their families. They are the outliers in their families.
Right, right.
And unless the family can develop a feeling of belonging to, because you're unique, that requires mature adults to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't coach actually teenagers. We coach whole families.
So say more about that. If you were going to... maybe, I don't know if you have a success story you'd be willing to share, or if you just ask if you had a new client that was a family...
Lots, yeah, in this area. Let me start with an analogy. If the fish is sick, you need to exchange the water.
Yes.
Which means this bright and brilliant teenager somatizes something that's going on in the family. Either suppressed intelligence of one or two of their parents, or something else that's cooking.
Mm-hmm.
And unless we address the whole systemic approach, genius coaching for individuals will be very limited, because parents tend very much to drop off their children, please fix my child, everything is right with me.
Right.
And then when you tell them in the beginning, the first session, that's where I do always an evaluation session first and say, well, that's exactly what we focus on. We focus on what's right with you, not what's wrong with you. And I would love to know this from all of you family members, what's right with you, so you can have totally different conversations with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And once you have this buy-in, then we change the environment. We turn into from a family, we turn a family into a strength-based team,
mm-hmm.
and a strength-based team culture.
Wow.
And that's where the commonality is with strength-based teams and corporations.
Mm-hmm.
The very same story repeating itself.
Wow.
So the stories are really, really amazing and endless. One, let's call her Michelle.
Mm-hmm.
She was her entire childhood highly athletic, played soccer, played baseball 4 times a week, totally out there. Straight A students, honors list. At 12 years old, she had an injury in soccer and a diabetic shock.
Mm.
Overnight, she found out she's diabetic. And everything just imploded. For the next 2 years, she became into deep depression, didn't want to go to school anymore, just because of their friends, the grades all the way down to an F.
Mm.
And then she saw a psychiatrist, and they wanted to medicate her, and she refused because she's very intense.
Mm.
So, turns out, genius evaluation, we started coaching her, and she responded really well. She's the case study that I hung up in my office because I started to cry when she wrote it. And then she said, well, So I said, what do you do? Well, I'm very passive and I'm just on the sofa. I sleep all day. So what do you do when you wake up? Well, I watch the Food Channel. Turns out she has a passion for food.
Oh,
passion for cooking.
Oh, perfect. With her diabetes, she has to be
creative.
Here we go. So, yeah.
Especially now she has a passion for desserts, which is dangerous for her. So, what we did, homework was, take a tour to the Scottsdale Culinary Institute.
Mm-hmm.
She came back and was in heaven.
Oh, my God.
Because she found there a 16-year-old, and she didn't believe it would be for 16-year-olds already. She thought it would be only for adults.
Right, sure.
So, then the homework was, the more she found herself with all her values, her needs, her entire genius profile, her confidence started to really grow in leaps and bounds from week to week. She was chatting again, more outspoken, she cared about her makeup and how she looked, and all this stuff came back. So, her homework was to design a diet for diabetic teenagers. And to start a blog and put it out on the internet and see what happened.
Oh, my gosh.
And then when she gains more confidence, to be a speaker, because she loves to speak in presentation, totally outgoing, double extrovert. Said, yes, write your blog, write your articles, write your book, and be a speaker. Millions of teenagers and their families need to hear you. And that's the journey she is on right now, as we speak.
Isn't that powerful?
Mm-hmm.
So powerful. What a success story. And talk about making a difference in a whole family's lives. That child
definitely
was lying around on the sofa, and professionals, respected professionals, were recommending that she be medicated. Oh,
yeah.
I shudder to think. Well, this is fascinating to me. Otto, do you want to share your website, the link to your website, so people can learn more or start to follow you on Facebook?
Is www.geniuscoaching.com. Please don't go there right now because I found a virus yesterday and my webmaster works high speed to eliminate it, but it will be available again very soon.
Good.
And also, I speak to, if you know, parents and families that are into these kind of things. Most parents don't talk about these things. That's the part. But if you know somebody, please, by all means, send them to my public lecture in the Mustang Library in Scottsdale on Tuesday the 8th at from 6 to 7:30.
Tuesday,
so there will be a
public.
Yeah, November the 8th is the Tuesday.
And
because I want to touch as many people as possible in the valley.
Yeah, 6 to 7:30 p.m. at the Mustang Library in Scottsdale. Excellent, excellent. Thank you, Otto, for sharing that. Now, since this is sponsored by the International Coach Federation's Phoenix chapter, we always try to spend a little bit of time talking about the value of being a member of ICF and why people go after their certification and why they retain their certification, because as I know, it's a lot of continuing education hours to maintain that MCC. So could you just speak to that for a few minutes and share with our listeners why it's important to be a member of the ICF and go after certification?
Yeah, I think it's crucial for a coach who does it professionally to be associated with other coaches, because it's still a fairly young profession, and all the lobbying and the promotion and the presentation, the presence in public the ICF does is absolutely priceless. Also here in the local area in Phoenix, the ICF chapter, I mean, Catherine, you have been a very, very important member of this whole event here in Scottsdale in Phoenix.
Well,
it's so important to have a voice that is stronger than an individual voice, and also to make this statement over and over again with our credentials that this is a serious profession. It is as important as psychology, psychotherapy, as important as your dentist, as important as your physician. And the growth is tremendous, but also important to differentiate who do you trust with your life. It better be a certified professional. So I cannot encourage all of you enough on this call and to spread the news out beyond ICF even, to join the forces and to really help us to make this much bigger than we individually ever could be.
Wow, beautifully stated, beautifully stated. Yes, who do you trust with your life and your career and your business but a certified professional? Yes, I love that. That is so beautifully stated, Otto. Well, we
Thank you.
Yeah, oh my gosh, yes, you're so eloquent. We have time for one or two more brief calls, so I just want to give that number again, 1-424-243-9638, and this will be an opportunity that you might not have again to ask the famous Otto Siegel a few questions about his 12 levels of intelligence and maybe some specifics about the physical intelligence, the self-care. My belief, Otto, is that it all starts there. If we're not doing the what you call the physical intelligence piece, then we're not going to be able to make good choices. We're not going to be able to do the visualizations. We're not going to be able to do the meditation. We're not going to be able to find our genius. I mean, am I being too simplistic? But what do you think about that?
No. Oh, you hit the nail on the spot. This statement is genius in itself. Because if I don't live, who cares?
Right.
All the tools, all the knowledge I can acquire, all the books I can read, all the lectures I listen to, they don't matter if I'm not healthy from head to toe.
Right.
I cannot even enjoy my life. If I cannot enjoy it, who cares? It's just hard life. I personally had enough of hard life. I'm here to enjoy every minute and every day. And that's only why I get hired as a coach. If you're miserable as a coach, who wants to work with you?
Right. Oh, my God.
And that's
God.
Another thing I love about coaching so much. You will need to walk your talk.
That's right, or you won't be a coach, a successful coach.
That's right.
It's very clear.
And not everybody's willing to do that. So advice giving doesn't cut it anymore in coaching because people are educated in the meantime.
Right.
And they want to see you. They want to see a picture of you. They want to have a conversation with you to see you in action. They ask you probing questions. So they want to see how you respond. They want to see if you have a sense of humor, if you can laugh about yourself. So these things on the human side of business are so crucial. And my personal opinion is the technology side of business is far advanced. I mean, iPad, iPod, sophisticated stuff, sophisticated business procedures. The human side of business, Stone Age.
Right.
How we communicate, how we still gossip about each other, the same backstabbing going on like in Stone Age, like Fred Flintstone, come on. So, in other words, fellow coaches, huge business opportunity.
Right. I have taken so many notes today because we have such good language. Yes. I always say that so much job security if coaches are willing to work in those corporate environments because...
Yes.
It's just, it is the Stone Ages. People are not, for some reason, you know, they just need a lot of help being their authentic selves, sharing their genius, sharing, you know, what's important to them, sharing what works and what doesn't work. I spend a tremendous amount of time as a coach helping people articulate just what doesn't work for them because it's so difficult to express that.
Yeah.
Yes, in the workplace.
That's true.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Yes. So we have that sophisticated technology, but we're in the Stone Age in the workplace. Very beautifully stated.
Yeah. And that's where I see the opportunity, okay? There's so much work to do. There's so much to publish. I'm so glad this Blog Talk Radio exists. And different ways to reach communities, reach large audiences out of control, but also have this human warmth to communicate with and touch people's hearts and their guts, actually, not only their minds.
Right.
So that's where the changes really are. They're in deeply ingrained behavior. Who cares the knowledge if people don't get along with each other? It doesn't really matter.
Right. That's right. And we have to touch them at their hearts and their minds, not just their minds, but their hearts. So we have to capture their hearts so that they will be able to have the strength to do the coaching and, you know, and to make changes.
Yeah. There's a famous poem I like, and I want to share with you also as we approach the end of this call. And that is the famous Return to Love by Marianne Williamson.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you're familiar with it.
I am familiar with that book, but please go ahead.
Mm-hmm. It starts like, I only want to quote a few lines. The first line starts, "Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It's not our darkness that frightens us, it's the light in us. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone."
Wow. It's in everyone.
Mm-hmm.
How beautiful, Otto. That's so great. Well, I think what I'd like to do is have Anna share a little bit about how listeners, I know there were going to be a lot of people that are going to want to share this audio presentation today. And if you found us through Blog Talk Radio or Facebook or Twitter, the link will be there to go in and listen at any point to this show. But Anna, is there anything else we should tell our listeners about how they might circulate this link to their loved ones?
Yes, when they are listening online, so if they go to blogtalkradio.com/ICF Phoenix, they can see the show, they link, they click there, and they can listen to the call. And if they are listening to my words at the moment, it's because they are there. Under the window, there is the social media share buttons. So they can share it to Google Plus, they can share it by Facebook, by tweet, by email, and there is a share orange button that all the other social media sites are also there too. So it's really easy. It's just clicking a button, write something, and send. Very easy to spread the word.
Great. And they can even upload that audio clip if they want to save it on their own computer or their own iPod, right?
Yes. And they can listen afterwards. I always do that. I will download it and then will listen in my iPhone.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. This is great. Well, let me just take a few minutes and talk about our upcoming shows, because this is a powerful resource for new coaches, people interested in becoming a coach, coaches, and all of our clients and loved ones. It's always a valuable presentation, and thank you especially to Otto Siegel today. And don't forget about his website, www.geniuscoaching.com. And his speaking engagement coming up on Tuesday, November 8th at the Mustang Library in Scottsdale, Arizona, from 6 to 7:30 p.m. Our next show will be Friday, November 18th. That's the Friday before Thanksgiving. And our guest will be Marnie Weber. Marnie is a caretaking coach, and she coaches in corporations and in families about how to take care of yourself if you're the caretaker. I'm oversimplifying that. On December 16th, our guest will be Lillian Curry, PCC. And Lillian is a very prominent local coach who does quite a bit of corporate coaching and is very involved in social media. So if you'd be interested to know more about her successes using social media to promote her coaching and her teleseminars, you won't want to miss that call on December 16th. And then on January 20th, we're going to have Quinn McDonnell, and who is the current leader in our local ICF chapter. And then on March 16th, 2012, we have the famous Marcia Reynolds. Marcia Reynolds is a world-renowned coach, a former president of the International Coach Federation at the global level. She and I served together on that board. And Marcia has an amazing story. She spent her 21st birthday in jail, and has now 2 master's degrees, and has been coaching for 16 years, and works internationally in, I believe, almost every country, leading programs and coaching teams. So that's our lineup for the next few months, and we certainly look forward to you joining us again, and always participating and helping us get the word out about our International Coach Federation Phoenix chapter and our Blog Talk Radio show, Coach Conversations. Thank you, Otto. This has been hugely valuable for me personally, and will be for my family, and I'll be keeping myself on your radar screen. So thank you so much for this opportunity today. Mm-hmm. And thanks especially to Anna Melikan, our producer. We would not be here today without Anna's tireless efforts to get us all organized and to make it so.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you so much for having me on this call. It was really a pleasure to interact with you, Catherine, as always. And today it was a special pleasure to have you for a full hour interacting with me.
Yeah.
So thank you, and thank you, Anna.
Yes, thank you so much, both of you. And that.
Bow, 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 bow. Okay.